Ladies and gentlemen, it is a great honor and a privilege to be here tonight and to participate in this great forum where so many important people connect in order to discuss all the important aspects of the great effort to revitalize the Greek economy and to present the case for Greece as an investment opportunity. Our topic will be NPL and loan restructuring, but not as a problem, but as a growth opportunity. The management of non-performing loans is without doubt one of the most important factors regarding the recovery and the revitalization of the Greek economy as a whole. Recent and ongoing changes in legislation in several areas, such as bankruptcy law, enforcement of claims and foreclosure, transfer and servicing of NPLs, and out-of-court workouts, can be seen as important developments towards efficient management of NPLs and the resolution of the relative impediments. Our panel today includes people who are able, due to their experience and their roles in the market, to give us an accurate description of the present situation and to provide us with meaningful insight into this important area. More specifically, our panel today includes Mr. Paschalis Bouhouris from BlackRock, who is a managing director and financial markets advisory, who brings 20 years banking experience with a focus on restructurings and NPLs. Mr. Konstantinos Vosikas from Alpha Bank, who is an assistant general manager for
NBG
corporate...
NBG.
Mr. Konstantinos Vosikas. All the banks are here, so I got confused. Mr. Konstantinos Vosikas from National Bank of Greece, who is an assistant general manager for corporate special assets. Mr. Perikles Kitroulakis, who is from Alpha Bank, who is an executive general manager for NPL and retail banking. And Mr. Spiros Papaspyrou from Piraeus Bank, who is an executive general manager for non-core business and restructuring portfolio. And finally, Mr. Armando Rubio Alvarez, who is a managing director and head of Southern European banks in Credit Suisse. I would like to begin with Mr. Bouhouris and ask him, can NPLs be seen as a growth opportunity? And if so, how?
I think we have a few slides. I'm not sure whether the slides are not here.
They're not here, I guess.
The organizers...
That's not it. Could we perhaps begin in the sake of time and...
So, by way, I guess, of introducing the topic of the panel, let me first note that low economic growth seems to be both the cause and effect of high NPLs. And there's a broad consensus on this. Where there is less of a broad consensus is how exactly the banks should get out of the problem and reinforce a positive loop from their current problem to the position of funding the economic growth again. A good start for this path is most probably having specific business plans and targets, which, by the way, the Greek banks, we've heard it from the previous session, they have by now. You also need well-capitalized banks. And again, the Greek banks, through costly recapitalizations and a current stock of provisions of over 68% of their NPLs, they seem to be well prepared. And you do need well-capitalized banks because you have to fund more viable solutions, which are often much costlier. And you also need to have a stock of provisions to absorb, to have the capacity to absorb losses that may occur in some closer procedures that happen below the book value. You do need a greater operating capacity to reach out to a large number of borrowers with targeted solutions, more viable, more affordable solutions. It also helps to have a legislative and foreclosure environment which is sufficiently creditor-friendly and includes specific provisions for loan sales as well as the operation of third-party servicers. I mention this... This is the path to a positive loop that I was trying to describe. I mentioned the legislation and the ability to sell portfolios or have third-party independent services operate, because that's another area where we had a lot of positive developments during 2016. The destination of this path is, of course, a position of lowering defaults, better asset quality, the ability of the banks to deploy again capital in lending and increasing the credit supply, but also a position where borrowers can reallocate valuable collateral to new lending as they want to invest again, their investment appetite increases together with the overall economic sentiment. Now, a couple of words about the targets of the banks. And again, in the previous sessions, we've heard about a couple of the numbers. 39 billion is the total reduction targeted by the Greek banks in 2019. This is 37% of the current stock of NPEs, or non-performing exposures. These are strong commitments to no else than the European regulator, the single supervisory mechanism, or SSM. And they're a very granular plan. We're looking at about 65 key performance indicators through which the banks are going to be monitored on a quarterly basis. The plans include longer-term workouts, costly workouts that may involve absorption of capital, as well as select collateral liquidation and select portfolio disposals. If successful at the end of this path, the banks are going to have NPEs below 34% and NPLs, the core problem loans, below 20%. This is still very high. As a matter of fact, it's one of the highest ratios in Europe, but it's much better than the current situation. Now, this path is further articulated by the European Central Bank in a guidance that they have issued very recently, which is not only applicable to Greece, but it's applicable across the euro area to all high NPL banks. The guidance includes specific provisions on how the banks should draft their NPL strategy, how they should implement the operational plan, with particular emphasis on governance and monitoring. The guidance also clarifies important financial and accounting aspects which are very important on how the banks report and manage their NPEs. It has to do with the recognition of non-performing exposures, the forbearance, the impairment, the collateral valuations. Now, I would say here that it is quite fair to mention that the Greek parts, for a number of years now, they've been adapting good practices in this domain. For over 2 or 3 years now, they are operating separate NPL divisions, and gradually they have improved the talent in these divisions, the technical resources, as well as the policies. Now, as market participants and policymakers in this domain, we are eager to see results in dealing with a problem that has been lingering for a few years. By now, though, we recognize, all of us, that results are slower to deliver than initial market expectations. This happens for obvious reasons and for some non-so-obvious ones. The obvious include, for instance, the lack of a high-growth economic environment. The non-obvious have to do, for instance, with reporting. For example, for a non-performing exposure to be declassified as performing, sometimes probation periods of up to 2 years are involved. So recent efforts of the banks are going to materialize and are going to be fully reflected on their results if borrowers do not redefault with some considerable delay. 3 points on my side as takeaways. One, active management has now been adapted by the Greek banks. Second, a clear path is now outlined and monitored very closely by the regulator. And thirdly, developments at the macro level and equally important at the legislative level in Greece during the year have been positive. Thank you.
And now I would like to thank Mr. Bouhouris. I would like to move to Mr. Vosikas and ask him about the background of the NPL issue, as well as about the steps that have been taken towards the solution to this problem, and from his own personal experience in National Bank of Greece. Mr. Vosikas.
Thank you, Alex, and thank you, Pascalis, too, for the introduction. I won't argue out with the history too much. The size of the recessionary shock in Greece was unprecedented for a European country. This is known with the developed banking system. Indicative figures include cumulative GDP decline by almost 25%, increased unemployment of nearly 20 percentage points, loss of 1 million jobs, a decrease in property prices by almost 42%, a reduction of private deposits by 48% or 115 billion. The above translated to an increase in the NPLs ratio by about 30 percentage points and NPEs by 40 percentage points between 2008 and 2016. Therefore, NPE exposures of Greek banks increased from 14 billion or 5.5% of total exposures to 108 billion or 45% of total exposure at the end of June 2016. The resolution of private debt is of utmost significance as expected for the rebalancing of the Greek banking system and Greek economy. Addressing the NPE problem in an efficient manner is very important, since it will further improve the financial condition of banks and will free up capital necessary to be directed to the productive and export-oriented sectors of the economy, supporting growth and productivity. But let's see what has been done until now, what we're expecting to be done in the next months. Regarding the banking system, the Greek banks, as Mr. Bouhouris said before, have established independent specialized units to manage NPEs. These units are supported by dedicated specialized legal and real estate teams. At the same time, the Greek banks recently submitted to the Bank of Greece and to the SSM their ambitious but, in our opinion, clearly achievable targets for reducing NPEs and NPLs within a three-year time horizon. According to these NPE targets, we're expecting to decrease NPEs by 38% within this period, reaching almost 67 billion at the end of 2019. NPEs as a percentage of total exposure will gradually decrease and reach 34% in 2019, while NPL ratio should reach 20% in 2019 from 38% at end of June. It is also known that the targets can be fully embedded in the NPE business strategy, which includes loan restructurings, collections and liquidation of NPEs, sales of loans, as well as write-offs. It should be noted that in total the banks have achieved the Q3 2016 NPE target already. The decrease of NPEs will take place through the implementation of specific strategies for the management of troubled assets, supported also by time-bounded plan and initiatives for further enhancement of troubled asset management. These strategies are already applied on thoroughly segmented and prioritized loan portfolios and include, in a nutshell, the following. I assume that my colleagues from the other banks will further enhance on this. An active portfolio management strategy for non-denounced operating and cooperative borrowers, supporting long-term borrowing viability and debt sustainability. This will mainly take place through the following two streams. Long-term viable restructuring, supported by the very good provisioning strategy of the Greek banks and the very good cooperation of the four systemic banks, as well as potential collaborations with specialized platforms and services for specific segments of exposures. We all know that there are already almost 10 companies already applied for Bank of Greece licensing process. On the other hand, how are we going to deal with the denounced portfolio? We should have an active management, and we are planning an active management of the denounced portfolio internally and through servicing agreements, through active restructuring efforts for the still operating and cooperative denounced obligors, debt settlements products offered, active management of real estate for non-operating denounced obligors through prioritization of cases based on collateral characteristics. Amicable solutions for voluntary sale of collateral for non-cooperative borrowers mainly, as well as reactivation of the auction activity, mainly again for non-cooperative borrowers, based on the new legal framework which is expected to expedite the whole process. Debt-to-asset settlements, and last but not least, portfolio sales. We should also note that since 2015, The four systemic banks have formed an unofficial NPL steering committee with the participation of troubled asset unit heads and other senior managers from the four banks in order to expedite the decision-making process on mainly syndicated corporate restructurings. The NPL steering committee meets at least every 2 weeks, but nonetheless the four banks retain full and independent credit decision authority and no majority rules apply. But this is what the banks have done until now. The banking sector efforts should also be supported by national initiatives. During the last months, we saw a number of initiatives aiming to remove impediments for NPE resolution, legal, tax, and judicial, and to improve also the banking system's capacity in dealing with the stock of NPEs. Although I'm not a lawyer, I will try to give some examples of such initiatives. First is the Code of Civil Procedure. The amendment of the Code of Civil Procedure appears to have set the basis for much improved efficiency in the enforcement of security rights. The new law has imposed limits on statutory preferences and has provided greater visibility on the percentage of recovery of secured creditors, 65% of the proceeds for a secured creditor holding a first-ranking security. There is also a new trial process lending to a simplified and much faster judicial process, while the law also leaves little room to the debtor, mainly strategic defaulters, to dispute the enforcement. Finally, the auction starting price is now linked to properties commercial rather than taxable value. In other words, seized assets are marked to market, resulting in a high rate of expected auctions successfully concluded. Another effort that is actually taking place during these days is the out-of-court workout. The draft law is under discussion during this period. The out-of-court workout aims to give an opportunity to corporate debtors, and in our opinion, mainly small and medium enterprise, with repayment difficulties to restructure all their obligations according to their repayment capacity. All debts of the same debtor may be settled, restructured through the OCW, and will include obligations towards all credit institutions, including leasing, factoring, etc., debts towards the public sector, state and social security organizations, as well as third parties as suppliers. The law aims to simplify and shorten the whole restructuring process, taking also into account that the court ratifies the decision and does not express opinion or decide on the restructuring plan itself. Last but not least, we're considering the new bankruptcy code. The new bankruptcy code is coming to close the gaps of the previous legislative framework surrounding the foreclosure procedures. Moreover, it will establish and provide details that formalize and clarify issues of rehabilitation, agreement, and the replacement of debtors' management. The creditor's right to file a petition for the ratification of rehabilitation agreement is more than welcome. At the same time, following the court decision, the creditors, in our opinion, should have the right to impose a restructuring plan to a non-cooperative borrower aiming to protect their rights, but at the same time increase the value for the shareholders. In addition, the new bankruptcy law, in our opinion, should protect the interim management for any liabilities stemming from the company's past performance, while in order to provide an additional incentive, the compensation of the insolvency professionals acting as bankruptcy administrators in case of bankruptcies should depend upon recoveries achieved for the creditors. In order to conclude, let me say that taking into account that all we already discussed, in our opinion, it is obvious that the Greek banks are ready and are committed to successfully resolve the NPE problems in Greece in an efficient manner in order to support the rehabilitation of distressed but cooperative and viable borrowers, free up the necessary capital to be directed to the productive and export-oriented sectors of the economy, supporting growth and productivity, and further improve their financial conditions. I strongly believe that after several years of uncertainty and painful reforms, the Greek economy enters into a period of stabilization and gradual growth. Investment appetite for Greek assets increases, and Greek banks are vested to support the recovery of the economy through both active NPE management and credit expansion to new and existing corporate customers. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Voska. I would like now to go to Mr. Kitrilaki and ask him. We heard from Mr. Voska that there have been many legislative developments in the NPL area. How does this affect especially the NPLs in retail banking?
Thank you. Well, as you heard up until now, the Greek banking system is trying to resolve almost 50% of its NPLs in the next 36 months. So such a huge effort cannot take place unless, as you heard, a number of judicial reforms are implemented in a manner that is consistent with the requirements of their plans. Thankfully, today we are here to say that for Greece, the past few years, a lot of people have been working on that in order to make sure that today we are at the final stage of implementation. Although there is a lot of activity on the NPL front, I'm going to briefly touch upon the ones that we feel are the most important ones, especially relating to retail NPLs. Starting with the most important one, the opening up of the NPL market and the new law introducing the servicers. You might have heard that Alpha Bank is the first bank to grant a license under this regime. Since the beginning of 2016, this new regulation allowed for companies other than credit institutions to serve and acquire receivables related to non-performing loans, while at the same time and under certain conditions, those companies will also be able to extend new facilities, giving additional breathing space to a number of borrowers that are in need. Although this is quite common to some jurisdictions, for the gradual deleveraging of the existing stock of NPLs for Greece, this is an important step forward. It allows for the creation of a secondary market, NPL market, and for international servicers that have done that in the past to come to Greece to invest, bring in state-of-the-art technologies, and apply resolution strategies that have been successfully elsewhere. Moving on to the second major development, is around code of conduct and the view that the Bank of Greece has taken over that matter. An equally important development that will help towards the resolution of NPLs. Effectively, this is the framework that sets clear time frames and communication protocols between borrowers and financial institutions. Since its effect in late 2014, it has allowed for a better and more efficient process whereby cooperative borrowers provide a comprehensive list with their financial statements in order to get a viable restructuring solution. After almost a year in effect, this law has been further enhanced by addressing shortfalls that were evident during execution, like excluding large corporates from this process and giving special care to socially vulnerable segments. This is a step towards a more holistic credit appraisal under a tighter resolution environment. Moving on to another equally important development, this lies with the individual bankruptcy law, more specific to retail segments. It's been a while since this law has been voted by the Greek Parliament in an attempt to give some comfort to a number of borrowers that have been seriously hit by the Greek crisis. However, this law has been proven to also accommodate quite a few strategic defaulters, mainly because of the lengthy process that was required to get to court. Since late last year, we have some positive developments on that front. Substantial changes have been rolled out, namely addressing issues in order to overcome courts that implied court hearings in 5 years' time, tighter application barriers for borrowers that apply for the bankruptcy law, and minimum recovery values of secured lenders set at forced liquidation values. These changes will allow both for increased and accelerated recoveries. The fourth development deals with collateral-based resolution and their time frame when required to go to court. Although this has been a big challenge for quite some time, according to the late legislation, auction dates are now set within a seven-month period from the time of foreclosure, allowing enough time for the borrowers to appeal while ensuring a timely resolution of the cases. Over and above, The electronic platform that is in the making will also address this issue in a more cost and efficient manner.
Thank you, Mr. Kitrilakis. And now I would like to move to Mr. Papaspyrou from Piraeus Bank. And given all these that we have heard regarding the legislative developments, I would like to ask you, what is exactly your plan going forward from the perspective of your bank?
Thank you, Alex. I'll try to give you a flavor of the market developments based on our story and future plan. Piraeus Bank went through a series of 8 acquisitions starting in 2012, ending in 2014. Having the largest loan portfolios in the country and the highest NPL ratio at that time, we created the recovery business unit back at end of 2013, transferring in this unit a lot of very skillful people that were on board due to the acquisitions. On top of the internal transfers, we recruited a very big team of specialists with international experience to deal with restructuring solutions and portfolio management. After the turbulent summer of 2015, the Greek government brought to the Parliament a strategic plan for managing NPLs in the country. This was a very big milestone for Greece, as we never had a holistic approach to things. We immediately adjusted our strategy to the new environment and started working on the total stock with more aggressive long-term restructuring solutions. This strategy proved to be the right one, and we managed today to have decreased in the first 9 months of the year by 2.2 billion euros our NPL stock. We managed to bring this up to 2.5 by the end of the year. And we have committed to targets like the ones Paschalis mentioned before of minus 41% NPEs for the 3.5 years remaining and 58% drop in our NPLs in the same period. Out of this 14 billion of decrease in NPLs, a very small part is based on sales of portfolios. We've done that on purpose because we think that this is not yet the time to go for portfolio sales, and I will explain why. How do we plan to achieve these numbers going forward? The forecast has been based on current assessment of viability of our customers and adjusted macro conditions and collateral values in a conservative way for the 3.5 years remaining. Today, as we speak, the viability of the customers that are managed by the recovery business unit, which are approximately 500 corporate customers, 2,500 SMEs and about 24,000 small business, is that 50% of them, with a very simplistic way of analyzing viability, are viable, meaning that they have a positive EBITDA in the previous year. Previous year being 2015, one of the worst years in our economic history. Obviously, we expect this to improve as we go forward and we have a much more positive outlook of the economy and some political stability. Personally, I don't have any doubt that these plans, as well as the other bank plans, can be executed. The only challenging thing about this is timing, because we still have to increase dramatically our capacity in order to achieve these plans from where we stand today. On the other hand, to build this plan, we reviewed all business accounts one by one, and for our retail portfolios, we used models per segment and delinquency status. We use industry statistics that we have developed internally to determine the restructuring strategy for every customer. So, for example, in the hotel business, where we have a significant portfolio of non-performing exposures, we have mapped all the hotels of the country per region, per category. So every customer of ours, we know exactly where he belongs versus his peer group. So if somebody has revenues that are in the top 40% of his peer group, he can get a restructuring solution, most probably with a settlement on his debt. If not, then we ask for either change of management or ownership, or both. We try to do this in order to make our restructurings and our actions more transparent and to also bring more value to our shareholders. Having said that, our biggest buffer in this plan structured solutions, and finally, sales of the portfolios in the future, something we have not accounted for in our plans. Back in end of 2014, beginning of 2015, we launched a series of initiatives for structured sales as well as for outright sales. The prices we got for sales of portfolios were very low, and maybe rightly so, as at that time we couldn't provide enough data sets for liquidations. You know, the previous years we have multiple elections and laws that prevented liquidations. There were no servicers in the market, and the country risk was high and heading north. We did get, though, some very good offers for structured solutions, which were not implemented due to the political turbulences that resulted in the capital controls in the summer of 2015. Today, the first servicers have been licensed in the country, and as Costa said, we're expecting something like 10 of them to emerge in 2017. At the same time, being aggressive on liquidations versus the past, we have built a track record that will allow investors to analyze properly the risk involved. Last but not least, the country risk will decrease further, allowing the banks to drastically decrease their NPEs through structured solution and some portfolio sales. We hope that this is going to happen by the end of 17, early 18, depending on the macro developments. Having been properly capitalized in 2015, and by transforming our operations from an NPE management into a full-spectrum asset management unit, we aim not only to reach our targets, but to create extra value for our shareholders through the management of our NPEs. Just to address one of the issues that Paschalis mentioned before, he said something about whether these targets are enough for the banking system, because obviously ending up with 20% NPEs and 10% NPL, still this is not enough. The issue here is that we try to optimize the timing of this execution with how much we have to bring the NPEs and the NPLs down. Obviously, if we don't take some time and we force this plan to be front-loaded, we're going to create more problems than we're going to solve, for us as well as for our customers and finally for the economy. If we don't allow our customers to take some part of the upside and also for ourselves, this is not going to be a good result. So I think our regulators also understand that. They are happy with the way we paced our strategies. And finally, we're going to...
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Papaspiro. And I would like now to turn to Mr. Alvarez, who has experience in other European countries with similar issues such as Spain and Italy. And I would like you to give us the international perspective and perhaps a comparison between Greece and these countries with these problems.
Sure. Thank you very much, Alexander, and I'm very happy to do so. Before that, I would like to just mention that I feel very positive about this topic. It is a topic that, as we've heard today, is very relevant for the financial system in Greece and more broadly for the Greek economy. And I think we've been hearing now about the progress that has been made on the legislative front, about the progress that has been made in the sophistication of management of NPLs. So I must say I feel very positive about it. And I was only 1 year ago here sitting next to Paschalis, and I think we were very much requesting a change in the legislation, a new framework to have the right rules of the game implemented, and that is now being achieved. So I think it is time to start thinking about Greek NPLs as a real investment opportunity, and I think we in Credit Suisse have been doing a lot of work in many jurisdictions in Europe by structuring, by financing NPL transactions, and I think we are very focused and very eager to be participating in the Greek activity. So in order to give a little bit of an international dimension, I just wanted to use two or three slides, but in the interest of time, I'll try to be very brief. I think when I think about NPL markets, I think about four key dimensions. One is the legal framework, and I just covered that, and I think Greece has done a tremendous job, and I think it compares very favorably to many of the other jurisdictions that we are looking at in Europe. The second is the size of the market. The third is the scalability of the market, and the fourth is the pricing dynamics, i.e. the convergence of the bid and ask, which is obviously crucial to see transactions happening. So the first one being size, and I get this question a lot from investors, is the Greek NPL market sizable enough? And many investors, because of their sizing of investments, are only going to be focused on the larger markets. And I think the answer is yes. Greece is relevant, obviously, in absolute terms. It's 10% of the total NPL pool in Europe, which accounts for over 1 trillion euros. So it's over 100 billion of assets that are up for grabs and still sitting in the balance sheets of the banks. Moreover, the Greek NPLs still represent too high a portion of the country's total lending. So that is obviously bad for the financial system, as we just said, but it also means that there's a very strong focus institutionally from the different stakeholders, regulators, supervisors, to try and deal with this matter. The other element is the scalability of the market. And here, I think probably this is the main challenge for Greece in my perspective. When you look at countries like Ireland or Spain, the weight of real estate NPLs is very high. So this means the asset pool is very homogeneous. So that makes it quite easy for investors to find ways to get third-party servicing and to find economies of scale. In the case of Greece, that is a main challenge. But I think the key mitigant to that is what we've been hearing now, which is there's a consistent legal framework now. So I think from a bankruptcy, from a foreclosure perspective, we should be able to see economies of scale in how we handle these NPLs going forward. And the final point is on the pricing dynamics. And I think this is very interesting because we have also heard this a lot today with regards to the big effort that the banks, that the financial system has made in recapping the system as a whole. And I think this graph is a testament to that. If you include the cash provisions and the collateral values, Greece compares very favorably. It compares actually very favorably to a country like Spain, where we're probably going to see the most transactions around NPLs nowadays. And it compares very favorably to countries like Italy or countries like Portugal. So I think this is a very important data point as well, because it will also set the beginning of transactions. So just to recap very briefly, on the legal framework, ticking the box for Greece. On the size of the market, it is a sizable market. The scalability of the market, that's a challenge for the Greek market, but I think it will be achieved because the regulatory framework is there. And finally, it seems like there will be a convergence of the bid and ask because the banks are well provisioned.
We still have some time, but I don't think this is enough for questions. So would anyone of you would like to add a final remark after having heard all this analysis? Or let me ask you another question then. Do you think that we heard about this OCW draft law, do you think that this will affect the situation in NPL? How crucial is it to the success of NPL management? Mr. Kitrilakis?
Well, I think it's quite important because effectively, if the OCW plays out nicely, it will tick two boxes, not one box. The first one is coming to an agreement in an amicable manner with a number of borrowers on the business front, which is very important, and at the same time, offload courts that currently, although they are in the improving trend, still, you know, there's a big challenge there. So for me, OCW will be very important, and let's hope that it will play out.
Thank you, Arts. Thank you, Arts, Mr. Kitrilakis.
Just to add, it also brings in something that we've never seen in our country before, that is, it allows or even forces the public sector to follow the whatever settlement the banks propose. This is very important because a lot of Greek companies have for years accumulated debt with the government, whether it's taxes or social security, and now it doesn't make sense for us to save these companies as the government will take everything up and there is not going to be a future for these companies. Now, if we manage to get this OCW out in this fashion, I think there's going to be a tremendous improvement in the NPL market.
Thank you very much. And that will conclude our panel. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.